Twisted Roots by A.G. Parker. Read by A.G. Parker. Chapter 9. With their bodies, these women form gateways into the silent lands, a hidden landscape where the dead journey. Carolyn Hillier. The witch felt her power rising in the black night. She stretched out her senses, looking for the broken homes, the unjustly treated, the beaten and the neglected, the sick, the corrupted. The mist rose from her branches and leached out into the night. There was no light to catch it. No moon shone to capture glints of the drifting motes and spores as they spun their way across the land from the tree and stole into the village. Only one could she take. But soon, she thought, soon she would be strong enough to take all that she pleased. She rifled the houses and ransacked the beds until there, in the darkness of a dirty kitchen, she found her one. He was tired. She could feel his weariness and taste his regret. It ran in rings throughout his body, and when she crept inside his lungs, he did not fight. She shrugged on his body and felt his skin tighten around her. As one, they left the bottle on the table next to the empty, hollow glasses and went upstairs. Their left hand carried a knife they'd slipped from the kitchen drawer. As they passed the window of the landing, its blade gleamed yellow and cold in the diluted lamplight. In the bedroom, the witch noted the female in the tangle of bedsheets, saw the pain in her heart too, and thought about how she could take her at the next new moon. She held the knife handle steady in the man's hand and climbed onto the bed. She felt arousal stir. She tightened his body around herself, feeling her magic possess every atom, moving his limbs as though her own. They clambered quietly around the sleeping figure, placing one knee either side of her chest and lightly fingering the sheet around her face so that it pinned her head. They woke her up with a simple kiss. Her eyes showed terror, agonizing and beautiful. They stuffed the sheet into her silently screaming mouth and took the blade. Beneath their legs, they felt her buck and wriggle, straining to escape. But they held on. The woman soaked the mattress with her urine as the knife blade touched her throat. She hardly resisted when they turned the knife point up and placed the handle between her teeth, making sure her jaw, though shaking, clamped tight. Her mouth held the blade steady. They lowered themselves so that their eyes were a hair's breadth from hers. And then they dug the blade into their throat and slashed. Blood gushed over the woman's face and soaked red the sheets. It dribbled down the handle of the knife and stained the woman's lips and teeth. The witch gurgled laughter through the blood, feeling ecstasy flood through her. She savored the death until every last drop had gone from his body, and then shed the man's limp form and spun back to the tree in turning delighted walls of dust, filled with the glorious power of stolen life. In the black of the new moon, Layla slept. Something dark and teeming rattled past the house through the woods. The phone rang. A body left the house. An engine hummed. Layla slept on. Sometime during the blue hour, coloured lights flashed through the window of Layla's bedroom and sent their splashes of panic onto the ceiling, prickling, artificial blues stark against the hue of the world before dawn. The flashes roused Layla from her dreamland and brought her senses staggering into the waking nightmare. She kept the bedsheets pulled up tight as armour around her torso and opened the window further. She peered out into the morning. All seemed quiet. Layla felt the wooden ridge of the window frame dig into her ribcage as she strained to see past the garden wall. The lights were on the other side, one, maybe two sets of flashing blues, and the roof of an ambulance nosing out from the eaves of Jacob's house. Oh, God! Layla scrambled into jeans and a t-shirt and flung aside the pillowcase that was still stuffed under the door. The candle still smouldered, flashing orange and hungry onto the wood around it. The wax had melted and pooled onto the bedside table. It splattered onto the wall as she blew out the flame. She heard the kitchen door open and squeal shut, and she stopped, waiting. Footsteps resounded through the house. One set heavy but sure, the other light but tripping, unsteady. The latter set halted downstairs, whilst the ones that Layla assumed belonged to her father ascended the stairs and then joined with other noises. The airing cupboard door opened, and Layla heard a tumble of linen spill out and a soft shh as Elliot pressed the stiffened door back into its frame. Layla held her breath as the footsteps spiralled back in to meet one another in the space beneath Layla's bedroom. She heard her father's voice rumble in the depths of his chest, the words indistinguishable, but the steady warmth spilling out into the rest of the house like the glow of firelight. She waited under the covers for her father to come. He didn't try to slip past into his bed, which he must have been long craving. Layla smelt the faint hints of sawdust and beeswax and sweat and smoke that made up her father's scent and wriggled her shoulders until she sat upright in bed. The door opened and in the dim light her father, part shaped silver, part silhouette, took gentle steps into her room. Dawn was stretching her arms and had begun to light the land with crimson, but for this house, the blue hour still lingered. Elliot was almost ghostly, faded. His jaw was darkened with stubble that seemed to hang around with a gloom etched beneath his eyes. He swept his hair back from his face and smiled at her. His face was the ash of a fire long cold. "Dad?" She inquired into his eyes, but she knew what was coming. He sighed, weary. Layla waited, a sick, lurching feeling tumbling around her stomach. "Something happened." His voice trailed away as he turned and clicked her bedroom door closed. "Someone's dead, aren't they?" She heard panic rising in her voice, but she didn't care. She hated the waiting, the fidgeting around the truth. Her dad sighed and knelt in front of her, raising a finger to his lips. "Jacob's dad was found. The police were asking me if I'd seen anything, heard anything. Leslie, his mum's in tatters, asked if we'd take Jacob in for a couple of days while she sorts herself out. I said we'd be happy to do anything we could under the circumstances, but what do you think, Lay? Spare some room for your friend?" She nodded, unsettling tears. "Oh, sweetheart." He patted her shoulder and squeezed it. "I've made up the bed on the couch for Jacob. I doubt he'll get any sleep, but we should try not to disturb him for a bit, eh?" Layla nodded once more and wished terribly hard for things to be back the way they were before her birthday. When her father left, she lay still on the bed, fully clothed and empty. Layla couldn't sleep. The day following Jacob's arrival, the hours following the death of his father, had been muted as though life were a furtive thing to be kept hidden. She waited until she was sure her father was asleep, or at least locked in his room in silence, and made her way downstairs. Jacob lay on the sofa, his breath soft against the cushions, but it was a sleep of exhaustion rather than peace, and the pain etched into his face wasn't diminished by darkness. Layla slipped past him and prayed neither he nor her father would wake before she returned. The lights inside Matty's house were out, and the village lay dormant, waiting for morning. Layla knocked, quietly at first, and then urgency took hold and she hammered at Matty's door, the sharp noise biting and echoing around the silent streets. A light flicked on upstairs, followed by another downstairs and then the clunking sound of locks opening. Matty peered through the gap in the door, wary and behind the safety of the security chain. Her mouth upturned when she saw it was Layla who stood shivering despite the heat of the night on her doorstep. She raised an eyebrow.
"Wait."
The door was closed once more and the chain released, and then Layla was inside Matty's house, quietly worrying at her fingernail, unable to speak. Matty ignored her for a while, going through the ritual of lighting the gas and heating milk on the stove. She set a steaming cup of cocoa in front of Layla and screeched a chair out from under the table. She took a deep breath. "I've heard, obviously, about Jacob's dad. He must be distraught." Tongue still bound, Layla nodded. "You suspect, as I do, that it was this evil, the witch, that did it." Layla's lip quivered, and Matty watched a tear escape and roll down her cheek. She reached across the table, feeling as though she were reaching across a rift as apparent and daunting as a chasm, and clasped Layla's hand in hers. What's happening isn't your fault. None of this is predictable. There's nothing you could have done, no way you could have known. Mattie gripped her hand until Layla was forced to look up into Mattie's fierce grey eyes. There is entirely no use putting any more burden on your shoulders than already rests there. Do what has to be done, and to do that, you can't carry guilt. You have to drop that right now. The words made sense, but in her heart, all Layla saw was the pain she had caused. Snap out of it! Think of a way forward! Mattie implored, grasping Layla's hand. Do you think you could go back to the place in the woods, with the fire? Layla's face crinkled. Well, there's no use waiting for your mother to appear. Someone else may be dead by then. The hearth was quiet. No shadows danced or crept around the stone circle. The drum was silent, but the old woman sat, tending the fire. Her long white hair hung in bedraggled locks about her shoulders and lifted in the currents of air rising from the hearth. Layla caught the scent of bitter herbs and burning oak. She sat. Ash from her hands fed the fire, and she waited, asking the same question over and over. What's happening in the village? No flame memories appeared. Layla tried again. What do you want me to know? This time, her mother paced in the living room. We can't kill what's already dead. The picture skipped. Her aunt squatted before the fireplace and pressed tears from her eyes. We don't know anything. How are we supposed to do this if there's no evidence of her punishment left? You want to just try rebinding her? And then the image faded into the flames once more. Who? A dozen voices gurgled from the fire, moment on top of moment, shuddered and scraped across one another. The witch! The witch! The witch! Layla looked at the old woman opposite her. She faced her silently. Is that it? But the woman stared impassively through her, continuing to stoke the flames with a long, gnarled stick. What then? How do I defeat her? What am I supposed to ask? The fire burned on. What am I supposed to do? Why is nobody helping? Her heart pounded through her. She could feel its tremble in her breath, and without warning, her anger boiled over. Why can't you help me? All you give me is cryptic bullshit messages and dead people. Why is this happening? Why can't you just... Layla sat down, legs suddenly weak, her anger gone. She held her head in the heels of her hand and wept, huge, grievous, gulping sobs shaking her body. She let everything pour out into the dirt. When she was done, she felt the emptiness in her filled by the steady crackling of the fire. She inhaled the heady scents of smoke and wood and allowed the wretched feeling in her stomach to subside. The old woman's voice rasped. You are here because you are a part of the ancient pact made with the earth, left here by the elders to guard and protect the people who dwell in this land and drink from her waters. We are your tribe. We cannot spare you, sister. The world is in need of your magic. Do not relent until your duty is done. The stone took the words in silence. Layla brushed the tears from her face. I don't think I can. Mourn your life if you desire. But you are on a journey. Embrace it, or the earth will suffer her greatest loss. End of chapter 9. Hello, listeners. I wanted to give a huge thank you to anybody who has bought, downloaded, reviewed, or shared Twisted Roots so far. Your support has been amazing, and we are gradually inching towards Wild Wolf Publishing doing a print run of Twisted Roots. So if you can, please share, please post about it on social media. And if you know anyone that's looking for a spooky autumnal read, please send them in this direction. Thank you so much for your support once again. Twisted Roots was published by Wild Wolf Publishing and is available on Kindle via Amazon or as a downloadable PDF via my website. The links for both of these are in the description of this podcast. You can follow me on social media at @twisted_roots_agparker or @a_g_parker on Instagram. Please head to my website for other details and to keep updated with my poetry, performances, fiction, articles, and more. I hope you enjoyed listening to this latest chapter of Twisted Roots and that you tune in next time.